Thanks so much for joining us today. Our hope and prayer is that God will use this message powerfully in your life and that it'll bring you closer to Him. If you'd like more information about our church, or if you'd like to hear more messages, you can visit vibechurch.com or download our app. Now get ready to receive a word from the Lord.
You know, sometimes things happen in our lives that we kind of question whether God really cares about us, and if He knows where we're at, He knows what's happening, and sometimes it causes us to question God's goodness. Can we just take a moment this morning and just be reminded of how faithful God is in our lives, how good He is to us? We don't deserve anything that we've gotten, received. All we deserve is really the punishment of hell. But in the goodness of God and the richness of His mercy and His faithfulness, His love for us, He's rescued us. Lord, this morning, as we gather here, we're just reminded of Your goodness. We're reminded of Your faithfulness. We're reminded of Your mercy. And we love You. Thank You, Father. Thank You, God, for Your goodness to us. Thank You for the richness of Your grace and mercy. We worship You. We love You. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. Come on, woo! All right. Hey, it's good to see everybody this morning. Listen, before I get going any further, I want to introduce Bruce Davis. Bruce is one of our young people, one of our teenagers here at Vibe Church. Last week we heard from Ryan and how, you know, God just gave him a word in the form of rap and just really blessed us. And this morning what I'd like Bruce to do is, Bruce has been working on a message, and he's shared a message at Fine Arts before. And so he's got a message that the Lord's laid on his heart, about 5 minutes, right? That's all right. So he's going to share that word with us this morning. So open your hearts and just receive what God wants to do. Amen.
First of all, thank you. Good morning. Good morning, Vibe Church. All right, so as many of you know, my name is Bruce Davis. I occasionally do fine arts short sermons, and today I'll be performing my next short sermon for the next upcoming fine arts in February. So I'm just going to hop right into it. So I'm there, hands clenched on the ball. I'm running as fast as I can. I turn around, I got the enemy team behind me. I'm sprinting through those yards. Man, they're counting down fast. 5, 4, 3, touchdown. Yeah, I'm cheering. I spike the ball as hard as I can. I got my family cheering. I'm cheering. The crowd is cheering. Man, it's a great story. If only it were true, though. See, the story I just told you, completely made up. I've never even played real football. But with the right tone and the right delivery, anything can sound pleasing or real. See, if I came to you with a sales pitch and I said, we got a hot new product straight off the line, millions of people die from it every year. Some of the added benefits are bad breath and a lingering stench with some heart disease in there. How many of you would buy that product? See, that product is something we call cigarettes. See, so just before my sales pitch, I said, with the right delivery, anything can sound pleasing or it can sound real. And that's true. The devil is a master in this art. The devil is a salesman, and we are constantly buying up his stock. Well, let's see what the Bible has to say about this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. See, you're not the only one. You're not the only one who has these addictions, these temptations, these lies. You're not the only one. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. He is with you through it all, and God is faithful. Going back to the verse, it says, when you are tempted, He will show you a way out so you can endure. See, He won't put you in a situation you are not capable of getting out of. But just because God gave you the map don't mean He will drive you there. In Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 10, it states, "But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you, and Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life." See, the Spirit is in you. You do not have to fear anymore. The Spirit of God is living in you. And you're going to tell me you have no control over these fears, no control over these addictions, these temptations, those lies? In Romans, it states the third of the angels fell from heaven to join Lucifer. See, if you think about it, that sounds like a lot. But the devil and those fallen angels are still outnumbered 2-1. All these lies and temptations, they're outnumbered. So how are you going to tell me that you have no control whenever the leader of angel armies is by your side through this? See, and if everything else has slipped your mind from what I've said today, just remember that when the lies start to overwhelm you or the temptation shows up, God is there, and he will not allow the situation to be more than you can handle. He will not let the devil sell you something you can't turn around for profit. Thank you.
I should not be coming up here after my son. But welcome to Vibe Church this morning. Good job, Bruce. I'm crying. We don't get to hear those. He doesn't let us hear them until he's in front of everybody. So I'm crying a little. So if you're watching online, be sure to give us a shout out and share the service on Facebook. Also, if you haven't downloaded our app yet, go ahead and do that because there's a ton of great resources on there, including notes for today's service. For those here in person, you'll see a Connect card on your seat. Please fill that out, and I'll tell you what to do with it after service. Also, there's multiple ways that you can give here at Vibe Church. Through our app, on our website, with our text to give in person by utilizing the giving envelope that you have on your seat that looks like this. Would you join me and my family today in worshiping the Lord with our giving? Go ahead and grab your envelope, even if you're giving online. And just hold it up and pray with me. God, we love you. Thank you for everything you have trusted us with to manage. We demonstrate our love for you by giving now a portion of what you have given us. We worship you by giving cheerfully from our heart. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. What a great day, huh? Are you guys hot? It's a good day to be a fan of Vibe Church. Get your fans, all right? Man, what my iPad says temperature. iPad needs to cool down before you can use it. That's not good. There goes my notes. Well, listen, we're starting a new series of messages today, and I won't be long because I know you're roasting, but after the service, we actually have hot dogs and water. Anybody want a glass of water right now? Does that sound good? It's going to be great. It's going to taste even so much better after I'm done preaching. But so it's over here at the cafe, our little mobile cafe. Right after the service, we'll have that. We're starting our new series today. We're doing what we do usually every summer. We call it Route 66. And I don't know if you've ever had the chance to travel on the old Route 66, but it's not one complete highway anymore. But I've had the opportunity in different states to be a part of it. We started this series actually back when we started the church 10 years ago. And we had the opportunity that first summer to go and be in Arizona on Route 66. The reason we call this series Route 66 is because there are 66 books in the Bible. And so what we typically try to do is we go through one of those books of the Bible. And we take that summer, we take about 12 to 15 weeks, and we just kind of go through that book in a systematic way. And for those of you who like that style of preaching, this is definitely something that you're going to enjoy. This week, or this month, this summer, we've chosen to go through the book of Romans, and we're calling it The Road Back Home. If you're familiar with Romans, you know that the Romans Road, you've heard of that, I'm sure. And I got to fan my iPad down. I'm like, have no notes. Seriously, this is exciting. My iPad's burning up. You've heard of the Romans Road, and the book of Romans is one of my favorite books in the Bible. And we're in for a treat this summer as we go through the book of Romans, but we're calling it The Road Back Home. And I believe God wants to do something powerful in our lives. I think and I believe that we, as we go through this series over the next 15 or so weeks, we should be changed. Romans, the book of Romans should change us. Something should happen in our lives as we embrace the Word of God. You know, just like the Constitution is to the United States, the book of Romans, people have said the book of Romans is that equivalent to the church, to Christianity. The book of Romans has such a systematic explanation of what we're going to talk about today, the gospel and God's righteousness and the Christian doctrines. And so the book of Romans is such a powerful tool. I want to encourage you, as we go through this series, would you take the time personally at home? Because we're not going to be able to go through every verse every Sunday. We would be in the book of Romans for years. But would you just with me go through in your devotions daily through the book of Romans? Maybe you say, hey, I've read the book of Romans, but read it again. I'm telling you, it's the word of God is living. It's active. It jumps off the page. God will use it again in your life. But would you do that with us this summer? Let's go through the book of Romans, and let's not just read it. Let's just not just try to get information, but let's allow it to sink into our hearts and to transform us. Can we do that? Let's do it. Let's do it together. Let's take this journey. Hey, I want to welcome my mentor who's here this morning. I'm so surprised to see my mentor, Pastor Terry Roberts, Dr. Terry Roberts, who's here, and Sandra, his wife. She's the real doctor. We're so glad that you guys are here. Pastor Terry and Sandra, Pastor Trinity Church in Southeast Columbia. And, my notes. You got paper notes. Thanks, bro. Dude. Everyone knows I couldn't breathe without Vic sometimes, and he saves me. My iPad failed me. But, thanks for coming out, Pastor Terry. Thanks for being here. So as we dive into the book of Romans, let me give you just a little bit of background to the book of Romans. The church in Rome, this is a letter that's written by the Apostle Paul to the church in the city of Rome. And the church in Rome was formed in the 30s AD, sometime in the 30s AD, right after the resurrection of Jesus. No one knows exactly when, and no one knows exactly who started the church. Unlike a lot of other New Testament churches that we see letters written to where the Apostle Paul started those churches, no one really knows exactly who started the church in Rome. There's, ideas, but there's no real clear. Some would say that Christians who were gathered on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, scattered, of course, they all went back to their places where they were from. And some say that those people, those new believers, as they went back to Rome, then started the church in Rome. No one, again, really knows. But in the late 40s, all of the Jews in Rome were expelled from the city. So what happened is the church took on a different feel at that point, because the church started out as mostly Jewish believers, of course, as they came back from, whether it was from Jerusalem or wherever they were coming from at the time, and the church started out as those Jewish believers who had received Christ as the Messiah, but then people who were non-Jews, who would be considered pagan, who would be considered also biblically Gentile people, they then began to put their faith and trust in Jesus, and so the church was a mix of people. Well, in the 40s, when all of the Jews were expelled out of Rome, the church then became prominently or mostly people who were believers with Gentile background. They had no roots in the Jewish faith. And so some believe that during this transition that the church then became a little more of a flavor of Gentiles. It would be kind of equivalent to a church that was, modern day, that was probably started by somebody who didn't have a lot of roots in Christianity, and I guess Vive Church kind of fits that. I grew up Catholic, but not really it was just religion, you know? And so, you know, you just kind of, the feel of it is a little different, you know? Those who have their roots deeper, you know, there's just a little different feel. So anyway, in the 50s AD, the Jews were able to come back to Rome. And then, so there was a little bit of a struggle that the church probably, and most people say that this is probably what happened because Paul actually addresses it a little bit in the letter to the Romans, is that there was a little bit of a struggle and a tension. It was kind of a little bit of a racial divide, you know, not bad, not, you know, but there, the tension was there and just of what church should look like and all. And I think every church has to go through that. Every church experiences those struggles of people who have their roots a little deeper into Christianity and those who don't, and they have that tension, you know, that they walk that line sometimes because there's a temptation of every church that the older you get, you forget about sometimes. It's easy, not intentional, but you forget about those who are away from God, and you kind of just, you become your family, and you start to have your inside family stories and your experiences and all that, and so anyway, the church in Rome went through that tension. And so Paul is writing this letter. And really there's three primary purposes for the letter that he writes. One is to clarify the gospel. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Another is to bring unity to the church. And he talks about that, how he addresses the Jews and the Greeks and the Gentiles. And then the third is to explain the righteousness of God. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But I believe that if we will embrace what God wants to do through this series, I believe that we're going to understand the gospel more thoroughly. We're going to pursue grace more passionately, and we're going to hate sin more completely. And so I believe that this series can change your life. Romans chapter 1, let's start there. Chapter 1, verse 14 through 17. Again, I'm going to make this quick. Romans 1, 14 through 17. Paul says to the church there in Rome as he writes, as he pens these letters, or this letter from the city of Corinth, which I had an opportunity to be there. It was a really cool experience. He said, I'm obligated both to the Greeks and the non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And the word gospel is used over 150 times in the New Testament in several various forms. The word gospel is really kind of a generic term. It's not necessarily a religious term or Christian term, but it means good news. It means good news. And I believe that the church should be about good news. Anyone else? We're not doomsday people. We're not negative people. We're about good news. We're about being positive, right? We're about good news. But now it's not like good news or optimism that just finds the good in everything. You know, like, hey, oh, sorry you totaled your car, but the radio still works, right? You know, and I'm not talking about that kind of good news that just is that kind of optimist, but there's something about us that we should understand that we are a people about good news. What is the good news that we're about? Can I just share just a few things? Because this is just scratching the surface. This is just the iceberg that's just sticking out of the water. But what we should be about as good news is that you had a debt. I had a debt that I couldn't pay. We had a debt that we owed to God that you and I could not pay. Now, some of you might feel like, hey, I'm a pretty good person. You know, probably the worst thing I ever did was write on the wall with crayons when I was a toddler. It doesn't matter how good you think you are or how bad you think you are. We all, when it comes to the cross, we all stand on level ground. We all had a debt that we couldn't pay. Your goodness doesn't get you any closer. It doesn't give you an extra inch of stretch toward God. We had a debt we couldn't pay. That's good news, right? We had a debt that we couldn't pay. And God paid it. See, our sin problem can't be fixed by working it out. This is good news. Our sin problem cannot be fixed by just working it out. Jesus took your place. He paid for your debt. He paid for my debt. He did the work. He paid off our debt. That's good news. That's what we're about. We're about good news. He restored that broken relationship with the Father. That's good news. You've been given all authority and all the resources of heaven. That's good news. The Holy Spirit lives in you to guide you and to comfort you. That's good news. See, we're about good news. God is for us. He's not against us. That's great news. No weapon formed against us will prosper. Good news. Whatever the enemy uses to destroy you, whatever he's using right now in your life, whatever he's trying to do to get you off track, whatever he's trying to do to distract you, whatever he's trying to do to get your heart so twisted inside towards somebody, all those things, God will use that and turn it around for good in your life. Listen, no one can shut down God's purpose and plan for your life. Do you realize that? That's good news. God has a purpose for your life. And there is not one person, whether it's your boss, whether it's your ex, whether it's a wayward child, it doesn't matter. Listen, no one can subvert, no one can cause God's purpose to not come to pass in your life. You realize that? Now, sometimes we think that. Sometimes we think, man, I'm just not going to experience God's purpose in my life because so-and-so just screwed up my plans. Listen, no one, I'm preaching to myself this morning. No one can subvert God's purpose for your life. Do we believe that? Amen. And that's good news. That's awesome news, right? That whatever the enemy throws at us, whatever he tries to use towards us and to ruin our lives, that is the very thing that God takes and he uses it for good in our lives. That's powerful. Only God can do that. That's good news. We are a people of good news. We are a people about the gospel, the good news. He gives us beauty for ashes and strength for fear. That's good news. That when sometimes in life it seems like everything you have hoped for, dreamed for, worked for, lived for, all of a sudden it just goes up in flames in front of you, maybe literally or figuratively, whatever it is, but it's gone. Maybe it's a marriage that you invested 20 plus years in. All of a sudden it's gone. It seems like, where is it? There's nothing here. There's just ashes. God says, I'm going to give you beauty for ashes, and I'm going to give you strength for fear. I'm going to turn that thing around. That's God's promise. That's the good news. That's the good news. And we are people of the gospel. We are followers of Jesus. And so Paul's saying to the church in Rome, he's saying, I want to talk about the gospel. I want to just remind you about the good news. Verse 16, he says it again. He said it, for I'm not ashamed of that gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. See, he's explaining to the church in Rome. Listen, it was the Jews who believed first. It was the Jews who brought the gospel to Rome. Let's not forget about them just because they got kicked out of Rome. Let's work together on this. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile, and we're all together. God has made one church. It's those people who have sacrificed year after year after year and have given sacrificially. Listen, no church goes without sacrifice. There are people who have given. so that you can receive the gospel now. I think about the people who sacrificed early on when we started this church. Early on, I remember there was a lady named Darcy who you know, we were in financial need. I would call Pastor Terry, who's a mentor, and I would just cry. I'm like, I think we're going to have to close the doors. I don't know how we're going to pay the electric bill. I think they're going to come turn it off. And, you know, he would just listen to me and listen to me. And I'd, you know, and just being crazy. And he would just pray with me. And he'd say, God's got this. He's got it. He was always so calm. And he's got it. We're here. We're here. Well, Darcy, in one of those times, we just said, hey, listen, as a church, we are in need. And just want to throw this out there. And would you consider just a sacrificial gift? And I just remember she had a copy of the book, The Grapes of Wrath, which I've never read it. Probably was supposed to in English class, in an English lit class, but I might have watched the movie instead. I don't know. But she had a copy, one of the early copies. It was worth a lot of money, worth thousands of dollars. It was her husband's book. He had passed away. She brought it to me one day, and she said, I want to give this to the church. I want you to sell it, and I want you to meet the need that we have. I was like, wow. You know, there's all this sentimental attachment, and you know, but she was willing to give that. She gave sacrificially. There were others who've given sacrificially. Don't ever think, listen, don't ever think that you know, you just walked into something that just magically happened. People gave. And Paul's saying to the early church, to the church in Rome, listen, first to the Jews sacrificed. They came, they started this church. Then to the Gentiles, we're working together on this thing. Don't ever forget those who gave so that you could be here. Somebody gave so that you could sit in the seat that you're in. Amen? And Paul's writing to this church in Rome, and he's saying that this gospel is powerful. It's powerful. He says that the righteous will live by faith. See, this gospel should change us. This gospel should change us. And can I just say this with all sincerity and boldness, that if you're not changed by the gospel, you need to change your gospel. Let me say it again. If you're not changed by the gospel, you need to change your gospel. I don't know what good news you're listening to, but if it's not changing you, you better change it. Because this gospel that Paul talks about, this gospel that he writes to the church in Rome, this gospel is powerful, and it changes, and it transforms. And I think over the next 15 weeks, as we dive into it and we get into some of the real gold nuggets of scripture, man, I believe God's going to transform you. He's going to change you. But we're not transformed just because we get knowledge. You hear me? We're not just on this quest for knowledge. We're on this quest to embrace the truth of scripture and to allow God to change us, to transform us. The gospel should change you. And if you're not changed by the gospel, change your gospel. Some people, I've talked to many, many people, goodness. And I love it when they come at me with this, because I'm ready for them at this point. But it's like, hey, I tried being a Christian, right? I tried being a Christian. Almost like I tried a keto diet, which I did try keto for about a couple hours. I will not do keto. I'd rather get out and work hard in the yard than to eat lettuce and no bread. I'm just sorry. You know, if you're on keto, you go for it. You keep going, all right? But people approach Christianity that way. Like, well, I tried Christianity. I don't know if you've ever heard someone say that, but man, people, well, I tried Christianity. Like it's some kind of new fad or diet or things that you just try it out for a little while. Christianity is not some kind of a weight loss program. It's not something that you try. It's something you live out. You embrace it because it's good news. Because guess what? You and I, we had a debt that we couldn't pay. We had a sin problem that kept us from a right relationship with God. And Jesus took our place. He died on the cross and suffered a brutal death so that you and I could be in right relationship with the Father. That's good news. And that good news transforms us. Because now I surrender my life and my heart to God. And I submit myself to Him. It's not something I try. It's not something I give a 30-day money-back guarantee. Like, you know, come on. If that's what Christianity is to you, if you're just trying this thing out, it's probably not going to work for you. I'm just going to be honest. But if you understand that you're lost without God, you're lost. If you understand that, you embrace it. And see, Paul goes on to tell the church in Rome, not only is this gospel powerful and it transforms and it changes, but it's about righteousness. See, the gospel, in this gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. That's a mouthful. In this gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Who God is, His holiness, His purity is revealed in this gospel. And as we embrace this gospel, we start to understand who God is. That He's holy and He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be changed. He wants us to be transformed. This is a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it's written, the righteous will live by faith. And so in this gospel, God's righteousness is revealed to us. See, the righteous and those who've embraced the gospel, they live by the faith, this faith. So my question to you this morning, and I'm done. My question is, what are you living by? Are you living by a gospel that you kind of made up, that you hoped that, hey, I can do this, this, and this, and God will still be okay, and I'll be, is it your gospel? Is it some kind of good news that you kind of manufactured? Or is it the gospel that Paul talks about in Romans and to the letter to the Romans? Is it a gospel that reveals the righteousness of God? Is it a gospel that as you open it up and you dive into it, you start to see and understand the depth of who God is and who He wants you to be as you follow Him and live for Him as His sons and His daughters? Do you live by faith? Are you living by faith? Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? I just want to pray for you. And maybe you're here this morning and maybe you're not in a right relationship with God, but you'd like to be. I'd like to pray with you. Let me pray with you, pray for you first. Father, I just thank you for each person that's here this morning. Thank you for those, Lord, that are watching online, that are in their cars, that are sitting here and just a part of what's happening at Vive Church today. Lord, I pray that you would give faith. I pray that you would stir our hearts and that you would plant that mustard seed of faith, that little bit of faith that it takes to take that first step with you. Lord, for that person who's here this morning and they've already begun walking with you and journeying with you and they've begun that relationship, Lord, God, I pray that you would help them wherever they're stuck. Help them to get unstuck. Lord, whatever the enemy's tried to use in their life to distract them, God, would you use that thing to turn it around for them right now? Help them to get unstuck. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed, if you're here, you say, Pastor Randy, that's me. I'm not in a relationship with God. I'm not where I need to be, and I want to embrace that good news. I want to embrace what God has done for me through Jesus. I want to pray for you. Would you pray with me? I want to lead you in this prayer. Just say, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I trust you. I live for you. Today, I want to start walking by faith. as I embrace this good news, this gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you join me as we worship the Lord one more time? And then we're going to enjoy some fellowship together.
Thanks again for joining us today. We're hoping that this message brought you to life. If you have any prayer requests or if you'd like to connect with our church family, you can email us at info@vibechurch.com or you can fill out the contact card section in our app. We're looking forward to hearing about all the ways that God is moving in your life. And until next time, go bring somebody to life.